God is good
all the time. All the time,
all the time. God is good. Amen.
Pop quiz. Last week we talked about fellowship, right? Fellowship with God, fellowship with our fellow believers. And how many of you guys went home and called somebody, invited them over for dinner? Okay. Well, now you have a homework assignment. So invite somebody over to your house sometime this month and have some fellowship together. Okay. We're going to start with our scripture reading. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. We're in the process of finishing up the book of John. We got maybe one more week. Maybe no more weeks. We'll see. If you'd please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to be in John chapter 20. We're just going to start in verse 19 and read through verse 31. It says, then the same day at evening, now this is the day when Jesus arose, the first day of the week. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and the Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your word this morning, Lord, we just pray that your spirit would challenge us. We pray that, Lord, we would be excited about your message, about your word, and about applying it to our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message is Bro, short for brother. Whenever you hear that word, I want you to think of three words: bro, believe, receive, and go. Yes, did I really do that? Yes, I just did. Believe, receive, and go. Bro. Okay. What I want to do is kind of really just boil down the gospel message this morning. The first thing is, believe in Jesus. Jesus said to Thomas, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Jesus is saying, have faith. Don't not have faith. Have faith. And John follows up and says, this is why I wrote my book. This is why I wrote my gospel. Is so that you could know. So that you could believe. John 3:16, he wrote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe. Do not be unbelieving. Believe. Joshua in the Old Testament set forth a similar challenge. He said, if it seems evil to you to this day to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, to the angel of the church at Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, having become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich and white with white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Either get on the boat or do not get on the boat. But decide. My pastor down in Kansas City would tell this story every once in a while. There was a Baptist church so void of life, so lifeless. Well, finally, once somebody actually died during the service, the ambulance came and the medics pulled out three people before they got the right one. In one little Midwestern town, there was a lady named Mrs. Jones. She had the distinction of being the oldest resident in town. So when she died, the editor of the local paper wanted to print a little article remembering this dear old lady. Except he couldn't think of anything to say when he sat down to write the article. Miss Jones had never done anything terribly wrong, and she had never spent a night in jail or even been drunk. On the other hand, she had never done anything significant. With this still on his mind, the editor went down to the local cafe and there ran into the local funeral director. He too was having the same trouble. He wanted to put something on Mrs. Jones' tombstone besides Mrs. Nancy Jones, born such and such date and died such and such date. But he couldn't think of anything to write either. The editor decided to go back to his office and assign the job of writing up a small article for both the paper and the tombstone to the first reporter that he saw. Well, when he got to his office, the first reporter to come in was the sports editor who got the assignment. So somewhere in some little community in the Midwest is a tombstone which reads, here lie the bones of Nancy Jones, for her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid, she died an old maid, no hits, no runs, no errors. Unfortunately, that's how many Christians live their lives. We don't ever do anything terribly wrong, but we never accomplish anything significant for the Lord. Jesus says, get off the fence. John said, I wrote this book here so you could know. Investigate it. Figure it out. Is it true or is it not? Don't come here on Sunday morning for a social club and think, hey, I'm getting something here. Either this is true and it should control your life. You should serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul or mind. Or don't. Either you believe or you don't. There's no in between. Jesus said, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And when we believe, we get to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has several, many functions, but the two I want to highlight this morning is the first one is the aspect of He seals us. When we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and He seals us to the day of redemption. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Paul wrote in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he says to the Corinthian church, Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, and He has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. So we see that the Holy Spirit comes into our life and seals us and says, yes, we are a child of God. Another verse says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And that is something that doesn't go away. The Holy Spirit will be involved in our life. Another verse we read just earlier says that the Lord corrects those who He loves. And the Holy Spirit will work in our lives to continue to change us into His image. But there's another aspect of the Spirit, and that is that we live by faith in the power of the Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Paul said to Titus, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, not only does the Holy Spirit come into our lives and seal us to the day of redemption, but He also gives us the power to live the Christian life. There's a gentleman named Roger Hershey, and he was a traveling spokesman for Campus Crusade for Christ. And he would use an example of how the Holy Spirit impacts our life. He would set up a cup of milk and he would squeeze chocolate syrup. The guy's name was Roger Hershey. So he would squeeze chocolate syrup into the glass. And all of you guys who know make chocolate milk, right? You put the milk, you put the syrup into the glass, and what does it do? It shrinks directly to the bottom, right? And your milk is still white. Right? He says that the indwelling by the Spirit at the moment of salvation is like squeezing chocolate syrup into a glass of milk. It's in there, but settled at the bottom. You can't necessarily see a changed life. But being filled with the Spirit, however, is a constant walk with the Spirit, stirring up the syrup until the milk is transformed and looks like chocolate. Sometime back, the Associated Press carried this dispatch. Glasgow, Kentucky, Leslie Puckett, after struggling to start his car, lifted the hood and discovered that someone had stolen the motor. And maybe you feel like your life is sometimes in that position. You're trying to go somewhere, but you got no power. Nothing's going. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave us, but if we're not living our life in obedience to the Spirit, we will not have that power. Paul said to the Corinthian church, they're struggling over who should they listen to, Paul or to some other people who are trying to teach them. They're false teachers. Paul says, do we need begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation to you? For you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, the Spirit of God has a ministry that is within us, within the body of Christ, and we are ministers to help one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, and to bring the knowledge of salvation to one another. But it's the Spirit of the living God that enables and empowers that ministry to work. It's not ourselves. We aren't anything. But it's what God does through us. The Spirit gives life. Jesus said, in speaking to his disciples and our job, commissioning us, in Matthew chapter 10, he said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Jesus is talking about the persecution of the early church. They were greatly persecuted. But in that, he is also talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, he indwells us. If we're sensitive to him, if we're listening to him, he will communicate with us and tell us what to do and what to say in different circumstances. There's a new technology. It's called hypersonic sound. A man named Elwood Norris engineered sound waves to travel like a laser beam for about 150 yards. And this allows sound to be heard by a person in a particular place, but not by those immediately around them. You could be listening to music or specific instructions while those standing next to you would be left in total silence. If you move out of the tightly formed path of these unique sound waves, you too will be unaware of any noise. God's communication with us is very similar to these sound waves. We must be in the right place to hear the Holy Spirit. And when we're there, the message is clear. But if we move away from the path of His voice, we become unaware of the fact that He is communicating with us, and we consequently miss the message. So Jesus says, believe. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then He says, go. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and be my witnesses. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus says, go and be my witnesses. He also says in John chapter 15, to be fruitful and to multiply. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We are to bear fruit as Christians. We are to be sharing our testimony, our witness of what God has done for us with others. When he was the pastor of a Methodist church in Scarborough, a man named William Sangster had an eccentric member who tried to be a zealous Christian. Unfortunately, the man was also mentally deficient and usually did the wrong thing. While working as a barber, the man lathered up a customer for a shave and then came at him with a razor and said, "Are you prepared to meet God?" The frightened man fled with a lather on his face. Okay, that's not how we're supposed to do it. How about this one? A Christian baroness living in the highlands of Nairobi, Kenya, told of a young national who was employed as her houseboy. After 3 months, he asked the baroness to give him a letter of reference to a friendly sheikh some miles away. The baroness, not wishing the houseboy to leave just when he had learned the routine of the household, offered to increase his pay. The lad replied that he was not leaving for higher pay. Rather, he decided that he would become either a Christian or a Muslim. And this is why he had come to work for the baroness for 3 months. He had wished to see how Christians acted. Now he wanted to work for 3 months for the sheikh, to observe the way of the Muslims. And then he would decide which way of life he would follow. The baroness was stunned as she recalled her many blemishes in her dealings with the houseboy. She could only exclaim, "Why didn't you tell me at the beginning?" And my question to you is, what if that person is your neighbor? What if that person is your family member? What if that person is somebody at work? They're watching you and saying, Is this Christianity worth anything? Do they really believe it? I'm going to give them some time. I'm going to watch this person. I'm going to decide if I want to be a Christian or not. Does your testimony, does your life, your daily life, would it appeal to anybody to want to be a Christian? And if the answer is no, then I would say either believe or don't. Either go all in or give up. Either receive the Spirit or reject it. But don't just pretend, because you're only hurting yourself and everybody else. Search your hearts. Ask God to search your heart and say, God, is there any wicked way within me? Repent, and God will again bless you, and He will restore to you the joy of your salvation. But don't be lukewarm. Either be hot or be cold, because anything lukewarm is just repulsive. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You have challenged us with Your word this morning. Lord, we cannot be fence sitters. We cannot watch our nation be destroyed by the enemy and pretend like nothing's going on. Lord, we cannot watch people go to hell and have the truth, have the gift of eternal life, and be passive. Lord, You have called us to be witnesses for You. You have challenged us to believe in You and then live a life accordingly. Lord, we are sinful people. We love You, but our hearts often leave You. We pray that Your Spirit would convict us of our sins. We pray that Your Spirit would restore to us the faith that we once walked in, so that we could be that light shining on a hill, showing people the way. Lord, that people would look at us and see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, that every name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that You are a great God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.